You're listening to Burning Brightly, episode 51, Dealing with Envy.
This is Burning Brightly, a podcast for Christian moms who are feeling called to build a business and share their light with the world. I'm Bonnie Wiscombe, a life coach, mom, and entrepreneur. And I'm honored to be your guide as you face this business building adventure full of highs, lows, and everything in between. This is where we help each other find the courage to shine.
Hello, my friend. Today's episode is all about that little green monster we like to call envy. It's not a fun emotion. You might not think this is very fun to listen to, but I promise you, you're going to come away with some takeaways that are going to change your life when it comes to feeling jealousy, envy, frustration that maybe someone has or has built something that you want. Now, today we're going to talk primarily about the envy in regards to business when we look at what someone else has built or we're worried about what we are building. But honestly, some of these tips will help you across the board in all areas of your life, no matter what you might feel envy surrounding. Now, all of us who are human have experienced this emotion at some point or another, and envy frankly feels pretty darn terrible. Most of the time, I just want to get rid of it. It feels awful. I kind of sit and wallow in it sometimes. It makes me feel terrible about myself. It makes me feel terrible about my relationships because envy tends to break down relationships as well. But it's also important to remember that it is a normal human emotion. So we're going to have no judgment for ourselves when we feel envy, okay? We're just going to let it move through us. We're going to process it, and then we're going to let it go. That's what I'm going to teach you today. So another thing to remember about any emotion that we experience is this. Emotions give us information. So before I learned about life coaching and about how powerful our emotions and thoughts are and how to have power over them, I just thought that when I felt a certain emotion that I didn't want, it kind of meant something bad about me, right? If I was envious, that meant that I was bad. I was a sinner. There was something wrong with me. And now I don't look at it like that anymore. I just look at emotion as information. It means that something is happening in my brain to create this emotion, this vibration in my body, and I'm going to learn why and what it can mean for me and if I want to keep it or let it go. So now when I feel envy or any other emotion that I dislike and I want to get rid of, I don't immediately drop it. I'm not in a real big hurry to let it go because I want to learn from it first. I also try not to hate it. I don't give myself a hard time about it and judge myself and tell myself how terrible I am for feeling envious. I just allow myself to feel it, to learn from it, and then it is so much easier to let it go once we've learned what it's there to teach us. So the first thing I've learned that envy teaches me over the years is that it teaches me what I want. Isn't that interesting? I realized that it is actually quite useful. Envy sometimes can fuel my dreams. Now, I don't want to make a habit of feeling it all the time. I actually want to learn to feel it less often, but whenever it comes up for me now, it helps me get to places I've never even dreamed of. So for example, let's say a friend travels to Australia and posts all her videos and photos about it on social media. Envy teaches me that I want that. If someone travels to Istanbul and I don't feel envious, I think, huh, I guess Istanbul isn't on my bucket list. I don't really want that. But Australia, apparently, I do because envy came up for me. So I just listen to it and I learn from it and I acknowledge, oh, maybe it's time to put Australia on my bucket list because that looked really fun. When a business acquaintance creates maybe, let's say, a successful membership that you've been dreaming of, or a friend buys a new car that looks really cool, or someone gets in incredible physical shape and does all these triathlons or something, and you feel envy for any of those things, you get to learn, oh, my brain wants that. That looks appealing to me. That seems exciting to me. That looks fun. I want to try that. You can add it to your vision board or your bucket list or your dream list. By the way, all of us should have one of these things, a place to write down things that we want to accomplish or build or places to go. I think it's really powerful when we're building our dreams. But that's what I use envy for, is to acknowledge, oh, that is something that I want. Oh, now I know. And then I get to kind of watch a little bit and think, oh, what did it take them to get there? Maybe logistically, right? Oh, they had to be able to afford a plane ticket to Australia and find a place to stay. It looks like they went on this safari. That looks pretty cool. So logistically, I figure out what it's going to take. But then also just acknowledging that that's a priority for me. Maybe travel hadn't been a huge priority for me before. And seeing that, I acknowledge, oh, I'm going to have to start budgeting for some travel because that is a lot more important to me than I realized. Now, I know this sounds kind of ideal, right? Most of the time when envy comes, we're not thinking positively. We're not thinking in a productive manner about, oh, now I know what I want. Very often, envy comes from this place of what we like to call dirty pain. It feels yucky. It feels gross. It feels combative sometimes, and we want to get rid of that aspect of it. So what that looks like for me is wishing that I had the thing instead of my friend. So my friend travels to Australia and I think, ugh, why did she get that instead of me? I've worked harder than her. I deserve it more, etc. Do you see how that feels very different? And it feels definitely like an emotion we want to get rid of when we're coming at it from that way. Or even looking at my perfectly amazing life and all of the things that I have and saying, ugh, it's not enough. I wish my life were different. I wish it were like her life. So that's kind of the dirty negative aspect of envy that we want to maybe let go of, because that does feel a lot worse than just thinking, oh, now I know that's something that I want. So we're going to look at part of the dirty pain side of envy and how to move through that as well. All right. So a big, I would call relatively negative emotion that accompanies envy for me is disappointment. And what that looks like for me is that it makes me think that I'm not successful in meeting my goals and dreams. Maybe I worry that somehow I've missed the boat. I'm disappointed in myself that I'm too late. Somebody else reached this dream before me, or everyone else is doing it faster than me or better than me. Recently, a coach I followed for a while created a new program in her business that is very similar to what I want to launch eventually. I'm not ready for it yet, but eventually down the road, I want to launch a program very similar to this one. And I had some envy come up. I felt disappointment along with that envy and thinking, oh, she beat me to it. Which now looking back, I think that's a very unuseful thought, but that's what came up for me. She beat me to it and now there's no room for me, which we'll talk about that in a second. So that disappointment part for me is more clean pain. And I want to acknowledge that. Acknowledge that that hurts to see somebody else build something that you've always wanted to and they did it first. Acknowledge that maybe you thought you'd already be there, or you wish things had gone by faster, or that you had grown bigger in the time you'd been given. And let yourself be disappointed in this for a while or however long it takes. Disappointment feels better than envy anyway. So just embrace that one and go, yeah, it does feel disappointing to see somebody reach something that I had dreamed of. But then we need to remember that there is actually room in this world for all of us. Every last one of us, every last dream, every last hope, there exists space for all of it. And every last talent that we have, there's room to grow it. God created us this way on purpose. He would never have duplicated two humans exactly the same, because there's no need for two humans that are exactly the same. There's need for each one of us in our unique talents and strengths. I promise you this. So if you struggle to believe this, work on this belief. Work on this belief for yourself. Maybe write it down, repeat it to yourself, and acknowledge that you probably, like me, believe that God created you the way you are for a reason. There is no other you exactly like you. So there's no reason to be disappointed if someone gets their dream ahead of yours, because yours is going to look a little different anyway. It will actually look better for you and perfectly suited for you, for your desires, for your wants, and for your strengths. So similar to disappointment, but maybe a little bit less clean feeling, is self-criticism. Sometimes self-criticism comes up for me. I started my coaching business in my 40s. So very often, what comes up for me is that I should have started sooner. I wish I were younger when I had started it. I like to think that I'm too old, or it's too late, or somehow I did something wrong. And if it's not disappointment coming, then it might be self-criticism. Gosh, if only you had done this before. If only you had found this earlier. If only whatever. But looking back at my life with an eye of self-criticism feels terrible. And I also personally really dislike criticizing my past self. I kind of look at her as a different version of me. And I want to acknowledge that she was doing the best she could do at that time with what she had. She did a great job, honestly. She raised a lot of babies while building businesses. She was exhausted a lot of the time and she still managed to get up and work on the things that were important to her. I am not going to criticize her at all. I'm going to give her all the credit that is due. And I'm going to acknowledge that the me of today is doing the same thing. So step into a place of compassion and awe for yourself, especially that past self. Look at what she's done. Look what she overcame. Look at her struggles and how she came out on top and all of the things that she managed to accomplish. Even if they don't look the way you wish they did, she still did exactly what she was supposed to do and lived the life she was supposed to have. And then you get to look at how far you've come. I love the concept of the gap and the gain. I talk about it all the time. If you're not familiar with it, go back to episode 23. It's called Living in the Gain. And I give a summary of that book and of how important it is to look at our lives looking backwards and acknowledging how far we've come instead of constantly looking at how far we'd like to go. Because after all, you would never want your future self to look back at the you of today and think, gosh, what was she doing all day? Be mean to you. No, every day has the struggles and successes it's supposed to have. So just let it be and stop wishing that things were different. I know it's a struggle, but we can do it, I promise. All right, another thing that envy brings up for me sometimes is imposter syndrome. Another struggle that we just talked about two episodes ago. There's a whole episode on imposter syndrome, so go listen to that if you missed it. But when I see others get or have or build things that I want, sometimes I feel dumb, like I don't belong, like there's something wrong with me. Sometimes I feel like I'm just not expert enough or not hardworking enough, or I just don't have what it takes. And when I look at my thoughts like this, I want to decide why I'm thinking this way, because we've talked about this before. Our brain doesn't come up with thoughts for no reason. It's usually trying to protect us or trying to save us from failure or embarrassment in some way. So I try to look at those thoughts and analyze them. Why am I thinking this way? Why do I feel like I don't belong or like I'm dumb or something is missing? Sometimes I ask myself, do I think that someone better, quote unquote, qualified would have had success already? Do I think that someone that I needed to be more talented in some way or work harder? What do I think I'm missing? And very often my brain doesn't have an answer for that. I just think, oh, I just don't belong. So kind of hold your feet to the fire a little bit and say, yeah, but what am I missing? Why am I an imposter? Why do I not belong here? And very often your brain won't have an answer for that. And then you're able to move through those thoughts. But again, be so compassionate and curious with yourself. Have a heart-to-heart talk with that version of yourself that's feeling like she doesn't belong. Maybe there's something deep there that you need to take a look at. And then acknowledge what is going right while still acknowledging the pain of unmet expectations and dreams. Did you know you can hold these two things in your brain at the same time? I can acknowledge that, hey, I'm doing a lot really well. I'm getting up every day and working on my business. I am trying even when it feels like things aren't going right. And I can also still hold compassion for myself that I haven't yet met the goals that I want to meet. And that's okay. It's okay to feel some pain there and wish that it were a little bit different. This is one of the greatest gifts I've been able to give myself through life coaching, is the gift of being able to hold two seemingly opposite emotions in my mind at the same time. I can feel happy and sad at the same time. I can feel excited and proud and also a little disappointed at the same time. It actually feels kind of good to acknowledge the whole gamut of my human experience and not just always try to find the good. So try it out. It might help you. Above all, please do not give up on your dream simply because you think it's taking longer than it should, or because it feels like that dream doesn't belong to you yet. It totally will, but we have to hold space for it before it's real. I know I've talked before about believing in your business before it exists. This is a tricky thing and something we have to practice regularly, but I promise you, you'll get better at it the more you try it. So do not give up yet. Just keep believing that it is coming. Now, the last part of envy that sometimes comes up for me is wondering if maybe I chose the wrong path, or if God somehow forgot about me. Sometimes I'll have this dream and I have a very clear vision of how it's going to come to pass. And shocker, my journey never looks like my vision. It never turns out the way I expected. Always different. Sometimes better, sometimes I think worse. But regardless, it's always going to be a little bit different than how you envision it. And this emotion that accompanies envy, this wondering if maybe I chose the wrong path, I think is the most insidious of all, because it feels a little bit like resignation and wanting to quit, right? We see somebody else's success and we think, ugh, I'll never get there. I'll never be like that. I'll never succeed like that. Things don't match up to our expectations, and so we want to quit. But the first thing to remember in this one is that envy cannot exist without comparison. So if we want to eliminate envy, we can work on eliminating comparison. Start noticing comparison early. Sometimes I start noticing that comparison actually makes me feel good. Maybe I'll compare myself to others and I think maybe I have something over them and it starts to make me feel good about myself. That is just as insidious. So make sure you get rid of that one as soon as possible. So nip comparison in the bud every single time, no matter how it makes you feel, because even if you're kind of feeling better about yourself than another person, eventually it's going to flip on its head. And either way, that comparison is not Christ-like. So let's get rid of it. Secondly, stop looking at your journey as a before and after. I am still working on this like daily, but it's so powerful. For many, many years, I was thinking, you know, I'm not where I want to be now, but when I get clients, then I'll feel successful. Or when I make X number of dollars, then I'll have arrived. Or when I'm able to buy this thing, then I know my business is taking off. And you can see how this works, right? Like I reach the goal and then I just push it off for another one. Again, the gap and the gain again, right? That same concept. As soon as I got clients, I thought, well, now I just need X number of clients. And I get X number of clients. And I think, well, actually now I want more, right? It never ends. So we have to look back at how far we've come and celebrate every milestone. Looking at your business as a before and after will cheat you out of all these little amazing milestones that you hit along the way. And I'm talking every little one. I remember one time I had a really tricky, troublesome technological problem. I think it was with my website. I was so frustrated. I could not figure this thing out. And when I finally figured it out, I think I went and bought myself a treat or something. I can't remember, but I celebrated it because it was something that drove me so crazy and I worked so hard on. Now, no one outside of me will ever know about that struggle and that success. It's not going to be written in my bio anywhere. I'm probably never going to talk about it on stage anywhere. But it was important to me that I persevered and I pushed through that challenge. And I celebrated it because I wanted to and I felt so good about pushing through. So don't forget to celebrate every milestone. Finishing your website, setting up your email service provider, talking to your first potential client, anything, anything that gets you a step forward, celebrate that. I actually have a best friend who is also an entrepreneur. And sometimes when we've both had a little success, we will get on the phone together and we will drive to Dairy Queen together, even though we're in different states, and we'll get an ice cream cone at the same time to celebrate those wins. And it's really fun to have a friend do that with you as well. Now, another thing I say all the time is you cannot enjoy the end of a journey that was miserable the whole way there. It's almost impossible. If your business journey is miserable on the way there, the end is not going to feel any different. It's going to feel similarly miserable. Your brain just doesn't know how to switch into success mode. So step into success mode now. Enjoy it now. There is no rule that says you have to make $50,000 before you can enjoy your business. There's no rule that says you even have to have one paying client to enjoy your business. Just enjoy it now. Step into the phase you are now and learn to appreciate where you are now. I'll tell you that when I didn't have any clients, I remember thinking, oh, it's so frustrating. I just want to help someone. And instead, one day I decided, you know what? I can actually not work on my business for a whole week and it doesn't matter. I can take whatever time I want with my family and it doesn't matter because I don't have any paying clients yet. And then all of a sudden, something that was a point of shame for me, not yet having clients, turned into a point of celebration. Actually, I have a lot more freedom than some of my friends who already have paying clients. And I was able to enjoy that phase so much more. So there's no rules that says you can only celebrate certain milestones or you can't enjoy the phases that are the building phases. You can enjoy every step. So this is why God called you to build a business, not for the enjoyment of the after phase, but for the growth that comes along the way. I firmly believe that there is so much for us to learn and grow along the way. Let's enjoy every step of it. Now, lastly, let's talk about feeling that maybe God has forsaken you or left you behind because you haven't reached your goal like everyone else has. God is so keenly aware of you and he knows your innermost dreams, whether you tell him or not. He will not abandon you and he will continue helping you get there if you keep asking and we remain humble, right? And looking for God's answers to us. I keep listening for course corrections all along the way. Sometimes I have needed to give up something good for something better. When my businesses have shifted, sometimes it has been hard to give up something I've worked really hard on, but I've acknowledged that God is calling me to something better and I've let it go. So when I've needed a course correction, it doesn't feel like some of these emotions we've talked about. It doesn't feel like envy. It doesn't feel like crushing defeat or self-criticism or disappointment. It just feels like a whisper. It feels like maybe a little tinge of discontent or just an idea that won't leave me alone, that maybe I should try this thing, this new thing. So I lean into that and I try to be flexible and then acknowledge that God will take you wherever he can use you most. And his plans are always greater than our plans. So remember to trust him and acknowledge that he has your best interest at heart. I can't wait to see where he takes you.
Are you ready to start or grow your dream business? Click the link in the show notes to download the free starter guide to building a business or to schedule a free coaching call with me. And if you loved this episode, don't forget to leave a review and share it with a friend who might be feeling the call to burn a little brighter.